reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 73. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
Grace and peace of our brother and teacher and Lord Jesus be with us, not just this day, but all of our days. How long was the pause? After spending some time in Gennesaret, a part of the Jewish region of Galilee, Jesus and the disciples crossed the border into the district of Tyre and Sidon, part of what is now Lebanon. And they crossed that border because, frankly, Jesus needs a break. He needs a break from the religious leaders back in Gennesaret. He needs a break from their inability to distinguish what really matters most to God in our lives and what doesn't. He needs a break from their inability to distinguish, as the statistician and best-selling author Nate Silver phrases it, the signal from the noise. The signal being that point in a set of data that most closely relates to the heart of the matter, and the noise being all the rest. Jesus needs a break from those religious leaders' inability to distinguish the signal from the noise. Because while they were in Gennesaret, those religious leaders chastised Jesus because his followers don't always follow the religious rules and regulations. Specifically in this case, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the rule that you had to wash your hands every time before you ate. In response, Jesus chastises them. Chastises them for focusing so much more on the noise, those rules and regulations, than on the signal, on God's call that we live lives rooted in the foundational principles of equality and justice and mercy and forgiveness and compassion. That's the signal, Jesus says, and you're too worried about the noise. And so as Jesus crosses that border into Tyre and Sidon, he breathes a sigh of relief. No more noise. No more noise. Just a bunch of Gentiles, a bunch of pagan people that won't bother me at all. Only he's barely crossed that border before he hears a voice in the distance. The voice of a Canaanite woman, one of those Gentiles, one of those pagans. A voice calling out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for my daughter is tormented by a demon." louder and louder, closer and closer, the voice gets, "Have mercy on me, Lord. My daughter is tormented by a demon. Have mercy on me, Lord. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Get rid of her, the disciples say. But Jesus remains silent for a while. But then he approaches the Canaanite woman. In itself, another violation of the religious rules and regulations. I mean, a Jewish man, and especially a Jewish rabbi, had no business approaching a Gentile pagan woman. But Jesus crosses that border anyway. And though we might expect he would get there and he would say to that woman, "I hear you. And it'll be all right. Your daughter will be healed." That's not what we get. Not right away. Instead, what Jesus says to the woman is, "Sorry, lady, can't help you. You're a Canaanite. You're a Gentile. You're a pagan. And I was sent by God only for the benefit of the people of Israel. And you're not one of them." That woman, that Canaanite woman, isn't distracted by that. Jesus' response is just noise to her. She's focused on the signal, the healing of her daughter, the mercy and compassion that she seeks from another human being. "That may be," she says to Jesus. "Maybe I am just a Canaanite woman. But even the dogs get the scraps, the morsels from the master's table." How long was the pause? Pause between the time she says that to Jesus and the time he answers her. The time he finally does say to her, "Woman, that's pretty amazing. Your faith is remarkable. Your daughter is healed." In fact, as the writer of Matthew's gospel puts it, the woman's daughter is healed instantly. How long was the pause between those two things? Because the Gospels have a tendency to use words like "immediately" or "instantly" when they want us to know that something happened right away. But there's no "immediately." There's no "instantly" here when it comes to the time between what the woman says to Jesus and his response to her. How long was the pause? Long enough. Long enough for Jesus to learn. Jesus learns here. He learns. With the help of that Canaanite woman, Jesus learns. That may sound a little bit odd to us, maybe even sacrilegious, the idea that the Son of God would learn something that he didn't know at all. But if we understand who and what Jesus was, as the Christian tradition does, as being both fully human and fully divine, well, on the one hand, if Jesus is fully human, then he had to learn stuff during his life, just like the rest of us. He didn't know it all from the beginning or ever. At the same time, if Jesus is fully divine, which we understand as being in union with God and God's ways, well, then he also had to be able to learn, because God learns. On more than one occasion in the Hebrew Scriptures, whether it's from Abraham or Moses or Noah or somebody else, God learns. On more than one occasion, somebody in the Hebrew Scriptures leads God to change God's mind. And in the Hebrew that those Scriptures are written in, that idea of changing your mind means to learn, just as it does in the Greek that the Gospels are originally written in. Jesus and the Canaanite woman engage in an encounter of spiritual education, of spiritual learning. Spiritual education rooted in two foundational ideas: border crossing and disposability. Henry Giroux occupies the endowed chair for scholarship in the public interest at McMaster University in Ontario, Canada, one of the top 80 rated highest institutions of higher learning in the entire world, a renowned university. And Giroux believes that education, true education, is about the changing of mind and heart, which again, in the sense of both the Hebrew Scriptures and the Greek of the New Testament, means the changing of the totality of one's being. Heart, mind, body, soul, spirit, all of it. And not just change, but change for the better, and not just change for the person's better, but for the betterment of others, the society, the nation, the world, for the betterment of humanity. And Giroux says that education requires our becoming able to distinguish the signal from the noise in the world. It requires that we acquire the ability to distinguish what really matters in our lives and in our neighborhoods and in our communities, in our nation, our world, what really matters for humanity from what does not. That kind of education, Giroux says, requires two things. It requires, first of all, that we cross borders. That each and every one of us cross the social and cultural and political and economic and racial and sexual and religious borders that so often separate us. And from that border crossing, Giroux says, we learn. We acquire the ability to understand that no other, no person or group that is other from us is disposable. That no other person or group has little or no value. Or if they have value, it's only to the extent that they have value to our purposes. And then, well, when that's gone, when that's done, well, then so are they. They then become disposable. Nothing good in this story. Nothing that makes anybody better. Not Jesus, not the woman, not the woman's daughter, not the disciples, not anybody. Nothing happens for the better until borders are crossed. Jesus crosses the geographical border between Gennesaret and Tyre and Sidon. He crosses the religious border between Jew and Gentile, Jew and pagan. He crosses the cultural and religious border, which said that a Jewish man, and certainly not a Jewish rabbi, could have anything to do with a Gentile, with a pagan woman. And most importantly, he crosses the border that he had walled his own mission and his own understanding of God behind. The border which said that God only cared about the people of Israel, and that everybody else was disposable. From that border crossing, because he crossed those borders, Jesus was able to learn. The woman, the Canaanite woman, was able to be his teacher, to lead him to a better, to a truer understanding, to a better, truer ability to distinguish the signal from the noise. As a community of God's people, that is what we are called to be, this place, First Congregational Church of Westfield. We are called to be a community of spiritual education. All that stuff we do, the things Ellen talked about, all those church school classes and adult classes and all those forums and all those speakers and all those readers and writers outings and all those mission trips and museum trips and play trips and all those children's choirs and children's musicals, all of it. All of it is for the purpose of crossing borders, of crossing those religious and educational and economic and spiritual and racial and sexual, all of those borders that the world constantly tries to divide us by. All those things we do here, FCC, are to make it possible for each of us to cross borders and thereby live in such a way that recognizes that in God's eyes, no one, no group is disposable. That, my friends, is our signal. And the rest, just noise. Amen.